Let's open our Bibles again in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 1 up to 15. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebaus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your money, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's pray together. Our great Redeemer and Holy Father who art in heaven, we thank you this morning again for having brought us together to hear from you. You've come with us, Lord, all the way from Bible study up to this climate time when we want to be fed by you through your word. May you use me, Lord, as you know that I know nothing. I totally rely on you, O Holy Spirit. Come and teach us your word to the glory of Jesus Christ. And this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, some hymns speak mightily into my life. Like this 217 we just sang. It speaks into my heart. And every day after singing this, I remain with many unanswered questions. And today we'll sing it again. I still love them. It is full of questions itself. Because it's asking, the composer was asking himself. And he says, oh, that is wonderful, blessed be his name, that he came seeking for me. He says, Jesus the Savior who hung on Calvary's tree. He paid the great debt and my soul is set free. Then he exclaimed, oh, it was wonderful. How could that be? Dying for me. How could that be? Calling for me. It's unbelievable. But he did it. Yeah, we continue the series in the Gospel of Matthew. We are now in chapter 10. You know, we do expository sermon. a preaching. It's a chain. I want just to remind you that these two chapters that we've left, 8 and 9, they were to show that Jesus Christ was not any human being. Remember in chapters 5, 6, 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he had showed his power in teaching and preaching. And at the end of his sermon, people wondered and said, wow, what kind of man this is, who preaches with such authority. Okay, after knowing that he can preach with authority, God his Father wanted to turn another page in the life of Christ. Now, his power over nature, over sicknesses, over demons, and we find that in those two chapters, 8 and 9. Let us see how chapter 9 ended. 9:35 up to the end, I read. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's how that chapter ended. Chapter 10, remember, he ended chapter 9, not happy. Why? Because he looked at the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. He felt pity. These multitudes, many among them were wealthy. Many among them were healthy. But still he felt compassion over them. Why? Not because they were sick. Not because they were poor. But because they were just like sheep without shepherd. How Jesus, could you say that they were like sheep without shepherd and yet the Pharisees were there? The Sadducees were there. We had religions and denominations just like we have now. But he says they were like sheep without shepherd. In Jeremiah that we read, 54, let's go there and we see in Jeremiah chapter 50 that we read this morning. From verse 4, you hear what the prophet said there. Jeremiah 50. From verse 4. And God here said, my people have been lost sheep. Chapter 50, verse 4. I said, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. Chapter 50, verse 4, yes. Verse 6, sorry.
Abantu bange babanga ebigezabula abasumba baabwe babawabya.
They have turned them away from the mountains.
Babakyamiza ku nsozi.
They have gone down from mountains to hell.
Kukasozi bera.
So this is the condition. Jesus saw the multitudes as sheep without shepherd. Yet they had religious leaders.
But
just like Jeremiah says here, it is their shepherds who have led them astray. And Jesus was mourning in sorrow. Last week we said this is the right attitude to whoever is truly born again. You don't look at them, charismatics and Pentecostals and what they are doing, the nonsense they are doing, and you just laugh at them. Jesus Christ never did so. Just look at them. They think many of them are innocent. They think they are on the right path. Feel also compassion over them. Pray for them. Go out and reach them. After feeling compassion, he turned to his disciples. Remember, he called these disciples. He has been teaching them, removing ignorance from them. He had not used them yet. Then he told them, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, he is speaking these words with his heart full of sorrow. People are perishing. Our parents, our relatives, our children are perishing. Now come to chapter 10, verse 1. He wants to turn these students of his into more laborers that are needed in the field. He was going up and down alone, teaching alone. They were just escorting him. They were not doing much. He says, let us pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers into the vineyards. 10, chapter 10, he wants now to turn them from being mere students who warm chairs into more laborers that he talks about in chapter 9. And here we read chapter 10, verse 1. I'll very fast give you a sketch of my message today. Yeah, the message is the sending of the disciples. We are going to look at 3 points. Number one, we are going to look at the sending person. Number two, the sent person. Number three, the sending instructions. And under the sending instructions, we are going to look at the field of their mission. What was the, would that be? The field of their mission. Field. Number two, the message of their mission. And number three, the conduct in their mission field. Let's begin with point number one, the sending person. And this is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to eat, to heal all kinds of sickness and kinds of disease.
Naita wajizwa we kuminawabili na wawapu uinza kutaimu unumuli okumugo vanga nukuonya angendu wa tezo nano unakuonya.
It is our Lord Jesus Christ, the sending person.
Kama hape Yesu Christu ya tukia sindika.
After training them, after teaching them for years,
na mazomba teleka nukwaso neso kumari miaka.
Time had come for him to send them now.
Akasela karika kuseyo kuwa sindika.
The teachings they had already.
Yeah, the idea of a service is to have a
It was now time before the sending. There are three stages or steps. Being taught, being empowered, and then being sent. Here, he wants to send them, but before that, he empowers them so that they could also do what he was doing in chapters 8 and 9. He empowered them. That's how a biblical church should be preparing its ministers. Not what we used to see in our Pentecostal churches where we were. You enter with today, if only you have your cash. Next Sunday, the pastor approaches you and says, "Do you want to be an elder in this church? Or if you want to be my assistant pastor, you can. If only you can be tithing some 1 million or 5.5 every month." They don't train their church leaders. Check what the Lord did. He first taught them, never used any one of them. After that, time has come. He wants to turn them into more laborers. He had many places he wanted to reach, but he could not reach alone or all those
things.
He empowered them. And he said, "Go and cast out demons, heal diseases of all kinds." And verse 2, they give us the names of those 12. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ had 72 disciples, men and women together. But from the 72, he chose 12 to go from being mere disciples to being his apostles. Jesus Christ is preparing the foundation, the ground for the church. Jesus Christ is God himself, all knowing. He had women who served him, who were close to him. Mary Magdalene, Mary the sister, and Martha the sisters of Lazarus.
Maria,
he loves them so dearly. But the question we ask is, now he has chosen 12 that is going to leave his mission, his ministry with when he goes back. Why not even one woman, Jesus? Was it an accident? Or maybe you forgot, now after reaching heaven you remember, "Oh, I made a mistake that I put there one woman." This is an omniscient God who knows everything, past, present and future. And he does nothing by accident. From 72 disciples, there were more than 10, more than 15 women. He chose 12 men. The world of today, because of modernization, we want the modernization to enter in the church. We have women pastors. Oh, it's okay. Let's just continue like that. They give us the names of those 12. Verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. Peter comes first for a reason. Judas Iscariot comes last for a reason.
Yuda Iskariyoti yasembayo olw'ensonga.
And if you read the same story in the Gospel according to Mark, Mark says that Jesus Christ sent them two in pairs. That's why even in Matthew here you find him adding, after saying a name, before he brings the second name, he puts and here. Two. He says Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother.
Simon, aitwa Petero, ni Andrea mganda.
James the son of Zebedee and John his brother.
Yakobo omwana wa Zebedee na Yohana mganda.
Philip and Bartholomew.
Philip and Bartholomew.
Thomas and Matthew. So you see it's and this and this. There were two.
Bari.
That's the way we do our outreach here.
Ngawe kukolanga kinyendo wawe.
Two. It's a biblical model.
Cha Bible.
The sending person is the creator of heaven and earth. The one who created you and me. Here he was in the flesh. He was still weak, just like us in our weak nature. But he's sending with authority. Let's look at the sent persons that we've seen them. The sent person, you find them in verse 2 up to 4. These are the 12 disciples. And for your information, this is the very first place in the Bible that name to be used, apostle. Which simply means a sent one. And in the Old Testament, these apostles are people with such a title who used to work of full authority of the sender. So they could go and work with full authority of the sender. To the extent that he could accurately represent the sender's mission. So Jesus Christ empowered the 12. He called them apostles. Because he was going to leave his mission with them. It was not yet accomplished. Today we have apostles who believe that they are just like Peter, just like Andrew. No. Jesus, you know, in the Old Covenant, we had 12 patriarchs, where the foundation of the oath was laid. Jesus is now preparing the 12 where the foundation of the New Testament will be laid. And you call yourself an apostle today of the same caliber? Meaning that the foundation of the church is also being laid on you. Let's go to verse 5. And look at the sending instructions. He has taught them. He has just empowered them. Exactly what we do here. We are teaching you. But I forgot to inform you. Okay, we shall talk about this after service. Those who are being trained as leaders here, we were going to meet Brother Sean on Monday. We shall talk about it after service. We are teaching you, we are training you. At the same time, we are empowering you. When we give you an opportunity to lead the service, that's empowering you. An opportunity to share the gospel. Someone out there can tell you, don't you see Jesus Christ empower them, give them power to chase demons and heal diseases? But you don't do that in your church. You need to understand this. For you to understand scripture well, get the whole of it in its entirety. If you start cutting just portions of scripture, you'll be confused even yourself. Yes, we can see it clearly that Jesus Christ said, go and chase demons, heal diseases, and all types of illnesses. The foundation of the church was being laid. Something new was being introduced into the world. Just as I showed you in the Old Testament, that whenever God wanted to introduce something new, he brought it with miracles, signs, and wonders. After that thing had peaked, miracles, signs, and wonders disappear. I've shown that to you many times. We don't believe in miracles here. We don't perform them. But the one we serve
is
the God who is yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he wanted to perform a miracle today, he would perform it very well. When he was taking the children of Israel from Egypt, from bondage, he brought miracles, signs, and wonders to show them, the Egyptians, that these are my people. The people to the Almighty God. Also to prove to the Jewish people themselves that me, your master, your God, I'm too powerful. 10 plagues in Egypt. They left. Miracles in the desert on the way. Water splitting. Eating on the rock and water comes. We are tired of your manna. Tomorrow you eat meat. And quails come from nowhere in the desert. Before they entered the promised land, they are not even entered. All miracles stopped, for your information. Now read the book of Joshua, who took over the whole of Joshua. There's no one miracle. They never needed them. They had come already from bondage. They are now in the promised land. The whole of book of Joshua, no miracle. Numbers, no miracle. Deuteronomy, no miracle. We come up to Judges. Israel has no king. God wants to raise judges to fight for his people, which is some miracles there. Then they stop. They come back. Years could pass, very many years. Miracles came back when he wanted to introduce something new again, prophets. They came with Elijah. Elisha, miracles. Continued up to Jeremiah, Isaiah, name them, Daniel. Up to the last prophet, Malachi. Miracles stopped for 400 years. No single miracle anywhere. Now something new wants to be introduced. God himself in the flesh. And he's the one who restored miracles again, so that the world could say, no, what kind of man this is? Walking on water, changing water into wine, healing sick, the sick, raising the dead. They are introducing the Messiah now into the world. And God says, when he was baptized, this is my only begotten son, please listen to him. After people saying, no, this, what kind of man this is, Jesus knew that he would go back. He had also to introduce those who were going to leave his message, his mission with. And he is empowering them with miracles, signs and wonders. And yes, they performed them. You and me don't need them today. Our elder brothers were introduced 2,000 years ago for us. This is time for the gospel. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. We don't need to seek after miracles. We don't. Many are fake. This is the reason why we are not moved by miracles and signs out there. This is not the era of miracles, signs and wonders. Yeah, I wanted just to be a bit clear there on that point. Now, the sending instructions. And Jesus begins with their mission field. Verse 5 and 6. He says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans.
Yes, nava chumao ekumi nava vidi nava bulibida nava gama chitemgenda nga mmakubo gava mawanga sotu niingida nga mdibuga yava Samaria.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Wachili mgende ne wachili mgende yendi gezawe.
Do you remember what we did last week?
Mnjukila siku wako la wite wete.
Is it last week? I think so. When I asked you a question, we are trying to strategize on how to evangelize the area. Whom should we go to? Any. Check Jesus. He's specifying the mission field. As for now, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't even go to Samaria. Go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Who are the Samaritans? They were the half-breed. Yes, because, you know, they were partly Jewish, partly Gentiles, whose origin began soon after the year 722 BC. The Assyrians attacked Israel. Before that, the children of one father had split into two nations. 10 tribes in the north. 10 tribes.
Amawanga.
In the north. And they remained with the name Israel. Their new capital city, Samaria. Then in the south, only two tribes. Benjamin and Judah. And their capital city remained Jerusalem. And enmity grew. No Samaritan was allowed into Judah. Now, because now these two tribes here obeyed because they were living according to the will of God. God sent the Assyrians, attack Israel, the 10 tribes, took many into exiled. Then they brought many from their country, Assyria, into Israel. These people intermarried. And we got these half-breed. Partly Jewish, partly Gentile. So the Jews down here where Jesus Christ was born were considering the Samaritans as just Gentiles. Their mission field was to go only to the lost tribe of Israel. Why? Simply because the kingdom, the message of the kingdom was supposed to be preached to them first. God had told their forefather Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them. And also a common Jewish belief was that 10 tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel had been lost. And they would be found in the time of the end. But here, Jesus uses the term lost tribe of Israel in the sense of the Old Testament. So Jesus wanted them to go and seek those children of Israel who had got lost. We are Gentiles. Our time was not yet. That's why Jesus said, no, I cannot give the food of children to dogs. You and me, we are dogs. Let's continue. So you've seen their mission field. What is our mission field? RBC. You hear some churches calling themselves Healing International Church, Gospel Church. So where exactly do you focus, you put your focus? Yes, even us will preach the world. But you need to have a specific feel of your mission. We are looking for land. Where exactly do we want to buy? The mission field. From there, he goes telling them the message of their mission. In verse 7 reads, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, period. That is the message of the kingdom, no more, no less. And this message of the kingdom, we find similarity with the message that John the Baptist preached and the message that Jesus Christ himself preached. In Matthew 3 verse 1, John the Baptist said these words. John said, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 4, verse 17. The message of Jesus Christ. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, who can prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord himself, who is our role model. They preach about the kingdom. Now he's sending more laborers. And he says, he tells them, go and preach saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the message of the kingdom alone. What is being preached today in churches? He's telling people how God has blessed you, the message of the kingdom. He's telling people how your wife wants to give birth from the US, a message of the kingdom. He's telling people how educated you are, the message of the kingdom. In some churches, as I got my visa last week, it would be the topic of the message of today. God is great, God is powerful. You cannot see the power of God on issuing visa. It's nothing before the Lord. Even if they deny you visa, He remains Almighty. He remains El Shaddai. Friends, when you go to a church where they don't preach the message of the kingdom, flee, you are on a danger zone. Sowing seeds is not the message of the kingdom. That message is in the Bible, but they twist it. The way they are doing it is not the way Jesus taught it. Good enough. For us, we are in our exposition, we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, until Matthew is down. It is in this very gospel. We'll reach there one day when Jesus Christ taught about the seed. And you'll understand how corrupt modern pastors and church leaders are. Stealing from their members, squeezing any single coin from them, that's not love at all. Sow a seed. If you give 10,000, you get double, you get 20. That's not the message of the kingdom. Concentrating your sermons on miracles, signs and wonders is not the message of the kingdom. It's not. Jesus Christ performed miracles more than any of these false teachers. But did he even preach or teach about miracles, signs and wonders? Check what he taught on the mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are being persecuted for my sake. Be you the light of the world. Be the salt of the world. Does not care whether you are rich or poor. Whether you are healthy or well or sick, does not care. So long as it is well with my soul. Period. Why do you put more emphasis on this that we are going to betray you one day? You go from prophet to prophet, from pastor to pastor, you want healing. You ignore the healing of your inner man who is true you. He gave them, you know, this Savior of ours is very smart. After teaching them enough, empowered them, then sent them with instructions. This is the message you should be teaching. Don't add on it, don't remove on from it. Friends, the message of the kingdom is to repent of our sins. And if you've never done that, you can see me anytime. We don't call people, but you can come. I live here. Any day, Monday, Tuesday, give me a call. I'd like to see you. We'll talk. We'll sit somewhere there, both the two of us. So that we also cry the way that the blind people cried in the message of last Sunday. Jesus, have mercy upon me. It's all about mercy. It has nothing with you deciding. Even when you decide, it is the mercy of Jesus first that enters you and breaks your heart and you decide to follow him. Yes, we have a part we play. We have a part. We are not robots that God pushes here and there. He wants us to decide. But it is his grace that comes into your heart first to show you, this direction is not right. Let me decide and follow this one. So you've seen the message of the kingdom. The message of the mission. Always preach that. Then he went ahead and telling them what to do. We've already seen this, to heal the sick, these are the conduct in the mission field. How do you conduct yourself now in the mission field? You've known the mission field. You've known the message of the mission. How should you conduct yourself? Verse 8b. Okay, after, let's read the whole of 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have been you have received, freely give. Freely you've received. Freely give. Is it what we are seeing in our in churches in our country? Not at all. And what makes my heart bleed is to see the multitudes that are being deceived and they call that truth. $77. People flock there. You see how the things they bring. And you see when you watch that program on TV, be reading the words down here. Say if you want, and even the pastor himself said, if you want to receive your miracle, sow a seed first. People come with suitcases, I don't know what they put there. People have brought many things. Jesus is telling his disciples, his apostles, freely you received. Freely give. You want to be prayed for? Pay this much. Is there any difference with Mama Fina? No. There's no difference. With Mama Fina, our chief, the president of which doctors in the country. And prophets have become prophets. Everyone wants to be a prophet. There are many. Prophet this, prophet that, prophet this. People go there. You should also have compassion over these multitudes. That's how you should conduct yourself in the mission field. Don't ask anything from anyone. Whatever you have, you receive for free. Another conduct in the mission field. Remain unburdened. Remain light. Verse 9 and 10. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belt, nor bag of your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. As I'm sending you, don't to carry anything with you. In the OT, they used to carry those apostles of the OT. Because remember, you are moving with the anointing of that big man person who has sent you. So they used to go with a bag. So whoever will see you there, they see you like the other big man there. Okay, we see even an example in Uganda here. Katikiro represents Kabaka. So wherever he goes, people see, oh, goodness, Maguru Nyondo. You see at least a small Maguru Nyondo here. People greet him with respect. They give him things. Because of that, those heralds, they were called heralds, who were sent by big people, maybe kings, to go and speak on their behalf. They used to go with bags. And they coming back home with the bags full. This is what Jesus Christ is discouraging with his disciples. Don't carry anything with you. This business, this mission is not a business. It's not for you to get wealth. Don't carry. These days, preachers of these days do the exact opposite of what Jesus was discouraging. Preachers even go to preach the gospel plus for stroke business. Yes? Brethren, I want to discourage that in all the time you'll be serving your Lord, don't mix those two things, please. Someone comes, I've received some. They preach the gospel. Then, so okay, now these 3 remaining days, can you take me to Kampala here? I see many people come from my country to buy things here. My wife has a small shop. She gave me money that I buy for her, this and this and this and that. Yeah, you take them there. But brethren, separate those two things. If you go for gospel, let it be for gospel alone. Go back home, then arrange another trip to go and purchase things. It's not good to mix those two things. It's not good. Many do. It's but it's not good. Check what the Lord is saying. Verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. Till you go out. See, I sleep at Pastor Bill's 2 days, the third day I sleep at Brother Asumani's, then the other days I sleep at Marvin's. That is just trying to collect offertories. I'm telling you the truth. Because if you sleep at mine and now you say, okay, now I'm going from Asumani to Chigozi to where? To David. From there I'll be going back home. Obviously, thank you for being with us for 2 days. This is the bread on the way. Here also, this is the bread on the way. At the end of the day, they have a full basket. That's what Christ is saying, when someone is worthy, remain there till you go back, till you come back. There is too much business in the Church of Christ today. Friends, as a small biblical church in this country, can the Lord give us wisdom to see that no, this is not the way of God? I see churches doing competition, say, Awangula agenda twala kapiata. A church, a pastor buys the kapiata, boda bodas. To compete, you pay him a fee, then, oh no. Enter a city or town. Inquire who in that city is worthy. What does he mean in those words? It means look for a person of a good name, good character. Because a preacher of the gospel should be careful of his reputation. And you should lodge only with those of having a regular life, a good reputation in the city. Tell me who is your friend and I'll tell you immediately who you are. As we sit here this morning, start reviewing the list of your friends. You have that one and that one and that one. They are not supposed to be your friend as a born again. What do I mean? Do I mean that? Because you can say, nah, pastor, nah, where you go, we are going too far. So he's my friend, she's my friend, so that I preach the gospel to them. So you make them your parties. Even me, I have friends who are not believers, but they are not my buddies. The way you do everything together, like finger and ring. Bad friends spoil good reputation. Go to them. Preach the gospel to them in love, but let the people you hang around with be the brethren. In verse 10, he told them, you don't bring anything with you because a worker is worthy of his food. What does that mean? As you go to preach the gospel, those people who receive you will take care of you. And it's not bad at all. You'll sleep, you'll eat. Because you are working and you deserve that. Verse 12. And when you go into a household, greet it. That's the first thing you do. And for them, their greeting was only one. Shalom. Peace be with you. As you're entering the door, give the peace to them. Peace be with you. This is already a family that is worthy to welcome in you. Don't hang around with anyone. The Bible says Jesus was friend of sinners. That's why every January or so I call all these musicians and Vayaye Barasi in our church and we glorify God together. Jesus is saying, Not every family can receive you. Check a worthy family. Not a family that has a daughter who's selling herself on the streets. 13. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon them. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Shake off the dust from your feet. What does that mean? You know, there are friends, you need to know the background and the culture of people. There are things that Jews used to do as the part of their culture. We can't do them now here in Uganda. You know, the Jews thought that the dust of the Gentiles was impure. You see, like our Kampala is full of dust these days. Members of Judaism, they are still there in Israel. That religion. They still believe that the dust of our country, Uganda, is impure. So whenever a Jew could pass through a Gentile city, they were like, I'm stepping on that impure dust. Once they leave that area, as if they are leaving that sin there, they consider themselves defiled by the dust of a pagan country. Therefore, it had to be shaken off. That sign indicated that Jews regarded Gentiles as impure, and they avoided any contact with them. That's why even in the NT, some brothers said, don't even greet them, don't even eat with them. They were still following these cultures, huh? But today I can't really encourage you to go with that. But if someone is not a believer, don't even greet them. What about your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter? So this was a part of the culture. Shake off the dust. As we end, Jesus Christ, when he was sending the 12, you and me were also being sent. He sent us here on this day. And you've heard the instructions he gave to us of how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. Next week we will continue from verse 16. And we are going to learn again more lessons there. But the laborers are few, yet people are perishing. Let's not joke. Let's be serious with the work of the Lord. I always tell you here, Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, it's neither by power nor by might, but by my spirit. Neither by power nor by might, but by the Lord's spirit. Just let us remain faithful to Him. Let people call you old fashioned. Let people call you whichever name they want to. Let's live according to the will of God. This church is the Lord's and it's ours together. He will build it. No one of us here will help Him build this church. He is the one using us. Serve Him. And I told you in Bible study this morning, He has His people that the Father knows. They will go looking for Him by all means. Some are here, we reach them. But people like these sisters and brother Andrew, who among us reach them? But they are here from a distance, looking for where they can see their Creator. We sing a hymn here, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. And I will never rest until I get my rest in you. Having all the money of Uganda will not give you rest. Pursue all degrees you want. Science, art degrees, you will never have rest. My heart will never rest until it gets its rest in you. And we sing again in our hymns here, build your church, O Lord. You know, me personally, last Sunday it was Brother Andrew, today it was Sister Patricia. These things, I don't tell you, but within my heart, the Lord humbles me. Bill, do you see this? I can still build my church without you. Without anyone. Remain faithful. Don't look for advertisement to give a TV. Let us be on the radio so that the church can be full. You are wasting your time. I don't say it's bad. No, if time comes and it gives us means, we'll be there to share the true gospel. But that's not the mean that can make the church grow. He is there in heaven to build this church. Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory. We say thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for what you did in our lives. We sang this morning and we were surprised. Oh, how wonderful that could be for you to seek for us, to come and die for us, to beg us to come to you. We thank you, Lord, that you had mercy upon us and you called us into this small church that honors you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word you've just shared with us this morning. Let us continue meditating upon it day and night. Let your Holy Spirit continue expanding it in our hearts. I don't know how to explain, Lord. I've tried my best, but I've failed to expound it the way you would want it to. Let the Holy Spirit, Lord, even as we go back home, go back to these passages of Scripture again. Read through and let the Holy Spirit expand them again more. Those among us, Lord, who are not yet saved, may you bring them to your saving grace. The time has gone, Lord. The time we are living is evil. Help us, O Lord. We thank you and we pray this through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.